Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The holidays are over. We're back to work.
Yeah.
We're ready to make money.
Yeah. Oh,
ready
yeah.
to make the clients money.
Say, there we
and,
go.
I mean, we're on point.
Yeah. Yeah. No lollygagging. It seems like this year's holiday season just went on longer than usual. And so some people...
It did go on a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it did seem like that. The kids were out a long time. Remember, they didn't go back till the 6th.
Oh.
So, yeah, it gave them more time to do things, let's put it that way.
To do things. To find some trouble is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's what they're supposed to do.
That's right. And of course, they got the trampoline put together. They've been enjoying that. That what did I say? Is it a PX5? What do they call that?
Oh, PS PlayStation. Is it PS?
It's PlayStation 5. But,
something.
But they call it something else.
I don't know. I'm not that cool.
Well, I'm not either. When I told them, they said, "Oh no, ma'am, that's not what it's called."
Oh. Now I feel like my grandparents when we used to make fun of them for being not cool. Now I'm not
I know.
Cool.
Do you realize it's a fast-paced, fast-moving world?
Yeah.
And if we don't catch a hold, we'll miss out on the whole thing.
I know it. I know it. I saw some New Year's Eve things, and people were saying, "Oh, goodbye to 6 and 7." Or something like that. And I'm like, what is 6 and 7? And I still don't know. I mean, she explained it to me.
Oh, all the kids are doing 6, 7, 6, 7.
See,
but I don't know. And they're dancing to it.
Oh.
But I don't know what it means.
I think that was the point, is to say something that made no sense to us and make us go, what does that mean? I think that was what it was all about. It's to
all
make
right.
us feel old. And I'd say, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished, because we don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
We don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it is really weird. And they do things like that and make us feel old and a little crazy. Some of us are a little crazy, but still, we don't need to have a
border. But we don't talk about that.
No. We don't talk about that.
No. It's like the old ant in the cellar. You know, you just don't discuss that.
Oh, no. Leave ant down there. So now it's on to the new year. It's all about making money, and that's what this is. It's Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are we starting the new year? What's
okay,
we?
The first thing we're going to talk about is protecting your accounts.
Mm.
You know, I had a little incident, so it's got me really on the ball now about security on all your financial things. And so we're going to give them a lesson in how to do that.
Oh, nice.
Because the cyber criminals, you know, they're doing attacks on everything. Social engineering techniques, they're doing everything to try to get our money out of our bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is keep everything in the bank, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
So Cybersecurity 101 webinar, let's talk about it.
All right.
Increase your password, first of all. Your password may say Alice93 or something. Well, you've got Alice on every one of your devices.
Mm.
If they break into one, they'll try it on other accounts.
Ooh.
So if they get one of them, they're going to get them all. So first of all, don't do something easy like Alice or the dog's name. You know, don't do that. So it needs to be something on each account with a new name. It needs to have uppercase, lowercase, symbols, and numbers. Don't make it simple, because when cyber criminals are going after your account, they're routing and routing and routing to see if these numbers will work. So it needs to be hard where you can remember, but hard enough that somebody wouldn't figure it out. In other words, if you don't use Mabel or the cat's name or the dog's name, that's the first step. You know, use something hard. like, you know, Australia. I mean, that's just an example.
Yeah.
Do something that they wouldn't think of. Because the dog's name, a lot of people get caught on that. So, first of all, hard password. Then you need 14 or more characters. And mix it. Upper, lower, symbols, numbers. And then put it down somewhere. Don't put it in your phone.
Oh.
If you put everything in your phone and they get your phone, they've got it.
Oh, geez. They've got everything at that point.
They've got everything at that point. So then use the secure password manager to avoid writing your passwords down.
Good point.
Now then, never enter your password after clicking a link. Always lock in the official site in a new window.
Ooh.
Okay?
All right.
Be sure, like if you want Wells Fargo Bank, you go to their link and go from there. Make sure it's the real site. Then turn on multi-factor authentication for all sensitive accounts. Use trusted antivirus software and keep it up to date. A lot of people don't increase anything over the years. They've got the same password they had 20 years ago. Then set your devices and your apps to auto-update for the latest security packages. Security updates all the time. Then spot the red flags. Here's the first one. Sense of urgency. They say, act now or lose access. It's a classic scam trigger. Lose it now. You've got to go to this right now. You don't either. Then the next thing to check is the spelling and the grammar errors. This is a sign of a phishing attempt. In other words, instead of American, it may be misspelled if they're from Africa or these other countries. So when you're going to click on something, check the spelling. Make sure, let's say it's from us. A lady the other day thought she had an email from me. It wasn't. They changed it just a little bit.
Ooh.
Enough to get you to accept it.
Yeah. All right. If we're not paying attention, our brain will see a word that's misspelled and our brain will correct it because it knows what it's supposed to be, and we miss those things.
Yeah. So suspicious senders, double check the email address.
Okay.
The next one, which is, I've had a lot of people say this, fake logos.
Ah.
The logo looks like it, but it's not. It's just a little bit off. And if you're in doubt about the logo, go to the company's website. Go. Don't wait. You don't click on it. You go to the website and check it.
Okay.
Do not use public Wi-Fi for financial and confidential matters.
Good idea.
And then use a VPN or a hotspot for secure browsing.
Okay.
And you should have something like a Bitfinder. You've got to have something on there that will check you all the time and say, go back. It's not safe.
One of those warning things that says, this is not secure.
That's not secure. It needs to warn you all the time because this is they're stealing millions and millions from people right now. So you have to be sure who you're talking to. And if it says urgent, you must do this right now. There's nothing that urgent.
Yeah.
You need to get off of there immediately. And decline that deal real fast, you know?
Yeah, get out.
Because it's not. And then the ones that call you and say, oh, your grandson or your granddaughter was hurt. It's an emergency. Send $10,000.
Yeah.
And people fall for that every day.
Yeah. And a lot of times they're produced with AI, so it sounds very similar to the person.
It sounds like their voice. AI can do things you and I never thought of.
I know it. It's kind of scary.
It is scary. They can carry on a conversation.
Yeah. I saw, speaking of carry on conversation, I saw somebody, and I can't remember what it was, but they took two phones that had AI voice communication, and they set them next to each other, and each one of the AI phones talked back and forth to each other. It was creepy.
Is that scary or not?
Yeah. Ooh, that was weird.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
And one other thing you can do, I don't know if you can do it on an individual account. I think you can, but I know you can on corporate accounts. All of us have drafts that come in every month, and they're just automatic, and they pay, and you don't pay attention to them. Well, if they accidentally get access to your draft account, they can take money out before you know it.
Uh-oh.
So you should have where you have to accept the draft. I've just got that on mine now at the office, where the, if a draft comes in, instead of it automatically paying, we have to okay it. If we don't, the draft goes back.
Hmm. So it doesn't just push through automatically. You
it
have
will
to...
not go through now.
Wow, cool. I didn't
so
know.
So all
that.
Of ours have to have that now. So it probably takes a day later, because when we come in, we've got to see that it's come in and then approve each and every one.
Wow.
That will keep people from stealing from you. Because if they automatically do a draft and it looks legitimate and somebody pays, then we're out that money.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot of recourse at that point.
No.
Boy, I didn't know that was even available to manually approve auto
yes,
drafts
it is.
Like that. Wow.
Yes, you can actually approve those, and you don't have to have your auto draft just go through. This way, you see every one of your drafts. You know if it's legitimate, and you say yes if you're sure it is.
Wow. All right. That's good to know.
So, anyway, that's a few tips. It's a new year. The bullies are out there trying to get our money, so we need to really be careful who we're dealing with.
Yeah. I wrote all those down, too. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'll be careful. Yeah, those spelling things, you know, when you're talking about the red flags, those spellings, I've got caught with those before. I thought I was doing a survey from what I thought was a cell phone company. And it made sense because we had just purchased some phones or accessories or something. And so then all of a sudden the survey came in, and I thought, well, this looks great. I'll do it. And then before I knew it, I had all these mysterious drafts coming out, and we had to shut down the card. And it was, oh, my word, it was a disaster. Yeah, that can get tricky.
Well, it can get very tricky. And the things that you order at Christmas, you think it's one company. This happened to me this year. There was a membership attached, but we couldn't see it.
Hmm.
And then getting it stopped was a problem.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you buy one thing, and they had it hid in there that there was a $100 membership.
Oh.
And you wouldn't even know it.
Till really?
After the fact, after they've already got the money.
Uh-oh. And then that probably authorizes them to take something out on a regular basis, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
and of course,
boy.
You know, I called them. I said, cancel this, cancel. But they said, we don't make refunds.
What?
So they got the money.
Oh,
you know?
that's low down.
And so that was a different story. That was something we weren't expecting, you know, that could happen.
Yeah. That's not been on my radar either, is the little hidden memberships. That's interesting. That's a new one. Huh.
Yeah. So... And it was a legitimate company that offered this, but I don't think they're legitimate because they had a hidden membership that we don't see.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's kind of scary, I'm sure, because we never read the fine print, or I never do.
No. And you don't see the membership. There was nothing there that said, if you buy this product, you just enrolled in a membership.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. That makes me almost not want to buy anything now, because it's like they've gotten so good. Oh, wow. I mean, sometimes I'll be aware of the things that they'll do. Like, they'll come out with these things. It'll say, okay, watch out when you go to the gas station. You know, when you put your card in the thing, make sure that the little slider thing is real and it doesn't pop off. And then the little sticker where you hold your card in front of it and just kind of like wave it in front of the thing. Make sure there's not another sticker on top of that one. And so I do all those things. But, boy, they've really gotten high tech now with these hidden memberships and things. Boy, oh boy, talk about protecting your money. Golly.
Ooh. Yeah, so they're after our money every day. So you've got to be on the lookout and be sure you've got you know, security on everything you're doing.
Wow.
Every computer needs security.
Yeah.
The phone has security. You can update that also.
Yeah. Well, now I'm starting to think to myself, because everything's, you know, in the phone. Like most of us, it's like everything is all there. And I've seen people can, you know, clone phones. And I don't know, I have any idea how they do it. But somehow they get into your phone and they clone it, and you can call people, or they call people from what looks like your phone, but it's not. And oh my gosh,
I would never put my passwords on a phone.
Yeah. Oh wow.
I would not do that.
Boy, that's
because if you lose a phone, they might figure out how to get those out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you probably put it under passwords.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's probably not a password on it. Yeah. Some people have a password, but what if they figure out the password?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, what if they...
And people lose their phones every frigging day.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm always talking to somebody, well, I left my phone here the other day. My daughter left hers at FedEx. I mean, I was trying to call her, and FedEx answered and said, "Your phone is here." And I go, "Oh my gosh." So, you know, people are not very careful about their phones.
No, no. Oh my gosh. I go off all the time without my phone, and I forget it, and it's like, "Where's my phone?" I'll set it down.
And remember, there's all kinds of numbers on your phone.
Yes. Yeah, there
all
is.
All kinds of listing. Probably says, Detroit Bank, Bank of America. I mean,
yeah.
you know, all this stuff that nobody needs to know.
Yeah, tons of information on there. Not only that,
yeah.
but you got all your contacts on there. So then people, if they get a hold of your contacts, then they can, you know.
Now they've really going to do some damage.
Yes, then they can try to go after all of them as well. And that's how those things spread like wildfire. So, boy, I'm glad you reviewed some of the safety things this today, because.
Well, I thought, you know, it's a new year. We need to, because the crooks are out there and they're good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. You had said that you had some of these protections on your own computers at the office and all that. So that's fantastic. People, you know, I've always been impressed with the fact that you keep up with things like that. Not just kind of like set it and forget it and walk away. You're always doing things to make improvements. You know, we talk all the time about how, you know, life settlements have improved, talk about how, you know, annuities have improved, but we don't really always talk about the safety measures. And the fact that you do have so many things in place is really spectacular. I mean, I'm sure probably investors really didn't know that until now, but, you know, knowing that all that is in place and you're conscious and aware of it is spectacular. It's great.
We have three layers now.
Yay. Cool.
Yeah. We had to go to three layers, three different ways that we can keep them out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes getting into those things that have all that protection as a regular, normal, legitimate user, it can be a little bit pain, take a couple extra seconds, but boy, it is worth it. Gosh, it's...
And you have to put it on each computer.
Yeah.
You can't just put it on one. You've got to go to each computer and put the encryption there.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
So that's what we've done.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So what else is going on as we start the new year?
Okay, the Rosenberg policy was put in the bank this week. There was 15 people in it. You know, that's 1.3 million. It came in early, so that's a good thing. So people are glad about that. They've got all that money to invest now. So, you know, 1.3 million is not bad. They made 35% on the Rosenberg call.
Oh, my word. Really?
Yes. So that was a good thing.
Wow. That's spectacular.
Yes. And so then this week we did a policy, a breast cancer policy again. And we just had one this week mature. It wasn't a lot of people. And it's a small policy. But anyway, it was another breast cancer that matured. And this was a breast cancer policy, and it's going to pay good, and we feel that this week.
Wow. So one paid out, and then a new one came in.
Then a new one came in. And, you know, we've only had one or two breast cancer policies ever go over.
Yeah.
And we've done really well over the years with them. And it seems like everybody that goes to Mexico it comes in earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to wait and see how this one does. But I'll bet it comes in early because they went to Mexico, wasted all that time, and the cancer is growing all that time you're in Mexico.
Yeah, that, I would imagine probably that's why those particular policies are very popular with investors, is because of that factor. You've seen it for years.
Yes, I have, because it seems like you can always rely on a breast cancer policy.
Yeah,
I mean, they've never let us down. That's like the pancreatic and rectal cancer and some of these others.
Yeah, I mean, you've got data that supports all these, and when they come in like that, and you have them available, I think people, from what I can gather, people usually pounce on those pretty quick. So
they do, and we've still got those four older policies. I mean, I'm praying for a miracle for this month or the next month. We need a miracle on that. You know?
You may have to send Flint back down to, what is it, North Carolina? Or South
Aiken,
Carolina?
South Carolina.
He's somewhere, I know, there.
He's 93 now, and his wife is 87.
Oh.
And I know that they can't even hardly move, but yet they're alive. I don't understand it. I mean, I check the obituaries every day.
Wow.
You know, I've got a ton of money in that policy, like everybody else does. I probably have more than they do.
You've been cussing out that policy for years.
Oh, my. It's the first policy we ever bought. Do you realize that?
Oh, no. Is it really?
It's the first policy I remember ever buying.
Wow.
And we were just naive and naive and naive back then. That's why Mr. Denton has survived.
He's out to get you.
I think so. I hope Mr. Denton doesn't outlive me, folks.
Well, the way he's going.
I know it could happen. But let's hope that doesn't happen, okay? Oh, my gosh.
It's not funny, but it's kind of funny at the same time.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was thankful that the Rosenberg policy got in the bank this week, since it was over $1 million, and they did make the 35%.
Yeah.
So those people are in good shape. That'll help.
I mean, to start the year off with 1.3, that you can't really argue with that. I mean, that's a
no, you can't. And I'm hoping that we'll have a whole bunch more. We're going to be buying some more. You know, people are cautious right now. But the only way you're going to make money is to invest in your policies.
Yeah.
And if you do it regular and keep turning them, you will make a lot of money. But you can't sit on the sidelines and say, well, I've got some that went over. But all these that we've done in the last 3 years have come in on time.
Yeah.
So it's the older ones that haven't.
Yeah. Not only on time, but some of them have even come in early. And
that's exactly right.
They've been quite a bit early for some of them.
The Turner policy was early, and one of the others was early.
Yeah, yeah. And so just the data that you have available at your fingertips now is so far advanced from when you started. I mean, you started doing this.
Oh, my gosh, a lot more than when we started. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like night and day now. I mean, it's just the advancements, the information, the specificness. Is that a word, specificness? The specificity.
I don't know. I've not heard that word.
Well, I just said it, so it must be real. But the amount of specific data that you have access to, it's just like, I know we talk about it being an informed type of investment that you can't really get anywhere else. You know, stock market is not informed. You can make a guess, but you might as well throw pennies in a wishing well for as far as how that's
going. Every once in a while.
Yeah. So with the life settlement, you have a lot of data that you go through, and that data just keeps getting more pinpoint accurate. Maybe that's a better way to say it. It's been more accurate in the last several
years. The last 3 years,
yeah.
Yes. The last 3 years are more accurate. Those people are having more maturities and earlier on time. So we're glad about that. We finally got it right. And then the new company that's doing our life settlements are doing a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. They, I mean, you've got the numbers right there to I mean, you look at these things all the time. A lot of times you're in policies yourself, like you were saying before. You know, you're in policies. If there's room, you'll do it in yourself. So it's not like you're just talking the talk. It's like you're actually walking the walk. You're invested. It's in your best interest.
And Dent and I have walked the walk for a long time with him. I mean, I feel the pain. I feel the pain for both of us.
You've walked from coast to coast.
I have. It's not a one-line deal. So, you know.
So for anybody who may have been in some policies, say, I don't know, I'm sure you probably got some investors, at least that maybe got in some early policies, had some similar results to that, and then they've kind of been maybe a little bit shy. What would you tell them about, you know, the advancements, and why is this?
Well, I would try one and see how it works.
Okay.
I would take either $50,000 or $75,000, do one of the new policies and see how it works out.
Yeah,
I guarantee they're going to like it. They can talk to all these people the last 3 years, and they will tell them that all of them are coming in either early or on time. These new ones are not going over like the old ones.
I'll
which
bet.
Which is really a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'll bet that probably the experience itself now, as opposed to several years ago, is almost like night and day. I would imagine it's
I think it is, because look how many we had in December.
Oh,
millions
yeah.
of dollars.
Yeah.
That matured in December that we got paid on.
Yeah. And so.
And we've still got two more to go.
Yeah. Wasn't there four? Was there four? Oh, I might be confused.
Let's see. I think we've gotten paid on four. And then that one that it ran over, it's out of New Jersey. We haven't got paid on it yet. And then the new one, the last new one since January 1st, was a breast cancer again.
Yeah. And then this new one for 1.3, it's just, I mean, you just, I mean, it's not like anybody can put it on the books and say, okay, on this particular date, I'm going to get paid for this life settlement. But your profit margins now, especially compared to a few years ago, much bigger. They're much more accurate. You can better pinpoint, you know, when things are going to come a little bit closer than really anybody. In fact, I would say not just closer, but I would imagine probably in several circumstances, they even would come in earlier than what you might even expect. So
I think so, because we've had three that have done just exactly that. I think they were 24 months and they came in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a big sway in investors' favor. So
yes, it is.
And all that means is when you have a 24-month policy and it comes in six, that means you can take that. You still get the same profit. It's not like they cut that down based on, you know, when it comes in. You still get that 24% profit. You just get it faster, which means you can turn around and reinvest it, and the cycle kind of continues that same way. That's how your biggest investors, I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that's how your biggest investors have made the most money, is always in a number of policies, always turning that money into new policies, maturing, turning it into more new policies.
I agree. And, you know, if you stick with it, it'll make money. You just got to bow your head and do it.
Yeah.
And say, let's see if it'll work that way.
Yeah. Now, for those that do really kind of want something that is a little bit more calendar-based, something that they can say, okay, on this particular date, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to, you know, this is going to pay out, and I can take that much, that would be something more towards annuities. And we've still got, what is it? Is it still the 14% bonuses?
Yes, we're still getting 14. That hadn't went down yet, so thank goodness for that. And it's a new year. You know, again, it's tax deferred. You don't pay taxes till you take it out. It's long term for you. It'll last you as long as you live. And the good thing about annuities, you can take up to 10% a year out. I know a lot of people aren't taking that much this year. Some tell me they're only taking 4% because that's the old rule. But you can take as much as you need out, up to 10%. You don't want to take more than 10 because then you'll get into your principal. But you get the 14% this year plus what it makes. And then, of course, you get 14% a year for the next 2 years when you put more money in. So it's a win-win situation on annuities. This is an old line insurance company, been in business right at 100 years. You know, it's solid. It's A-rated, worth about $60 billion.
Jeez.
So they're doing it right.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about them. And when you need your money, you can get it. I love that.
Yeah. And that's it's great for wait, what's the word you always use? Is it consistency or
Well, it
regular?
Is consistent year after year after year because, you know, it pays like it says it will. It'll average about 10%, maybe a little more, a little less some years. But it's a great policy. We've been doing it for years. You know, we've been with this company since, I believe, 2003.
Oh, my word. What's that, 22
I believe that's right.
Years? 23
yeah.
years? 24? The math shouldn't be that difficult.
It's almost 24 years that we've been with this company. So, you know, we trust them. They pay good. They do what they say they'll do. And the policy makes money. And I don't know how much more you can ask for. If it's a husband and wife, if the husband dies, the woman has got it made. It'll keep paying the rest of her life. She doesn't have to adjust it, doesn't have to do anything. Because once you sign up, you know, you can adjust it every year as you need it.
Yeah.
If this is making money, leave it alone. If one of the indexes is not making as much, change it. But if the market goes down, this as a lock-in, it'll just sit there. It will not go down. It does not have any mutual funds or stocks in it. It's all indexes. That's why it's a safe investment.
Yeah. And when you're in mutual funds, those can go up and down, but these fixed ones, they stay there. And I think probably the great thing, because I almost want to say that your motto is always protect your principal.
That's right. You've got to protect that principal.
Yeah. And this is a great way to do that because of that stopgap. So if you wake up, you know, tomorrow morning or Monday morning and you say, you know, oh my gosh, the bottom of the stock market fell out. I'm in annuities. How am I doing? You don't have to worry about it because it's got that stopgap in there. And so your bottom didn't fall out, which means you protect your principal, which means you don't have to start all over on Tuesday.
And it mirrors the stock market. It's never directly the stock market. That's what makes it a safe investment. And people that are getting ready to retire, they don't want it in the stock market. They want it in an annuity where it's safe. They want to get that money every month. Or they may want to let it pile up and not take it out for 2 or 3 years. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. I have some people retiring right now, and they're doing their annuities for the wife, the husband, and everybody will have their own annuity. They'll have their own income. And they said they were going to start taking Social Security and leave their annuities alone.
So they're not even going to touch it for a few years.
No. So it'll be drawing compound interest every year.
Wow. Plus the bonuses
so
on
compound
top
compound interest is the best.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, it's tax deferred, so it will make more than other investments because you're not paying taxes till you start to take it out.
So because in my brain, as you describe all this, I'm picturing basically a snowball. You know, you it starts small at the top of the hill, and if they're just letting it sit in there for a couple of years, not going to even touch it, it's just growing and growing and growing and growing like a snowball would rolling down a hill. Is that, looking at the right
That's
way?
That's basically true.
Yeah.
If you leave it there 2 or 3 years, then you've got some real great interest built up.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole time. You don't have to worry about the stock market bottoming out.
No, you can go to Europe. You can go a lot of different places and say there's not going to be bottom fall out because you're not directly in the stock market.
Yeah.
And that's why people get out of the stock market when they retire. They can't afford to lose their retirement income.
Yeah. It's
and a transfer is easy. We do a rollover from the 401k you've got over to this, and it becomes an IRA. So it's the same thing. It's just an individual account rather than a company account.
And, you know, sometimes people don't always anticipate, I guess, maybe post retirement expenses. You know, they think, okay, I need X amount to live on. Obviously, you know, your stuff is already paid off, so you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, okay, we're going to travel. We're going to use this much. We're going to, you know, take out this much to live on each month. But then if something happens, people don't always plan for that. And so these both, whether it's, you know, life settlements or annuities, it's a really great way to kind of, I guess, maybe in the background without putting in a whole lot of effort, it's a great way to make money, to make sure that, you know, if something does come up, because unexpected things happen, but there is always going to be money in the background just by letting it sit there and, I guess, simmering on the back burner. And so people don't have to worry about contingency plans in case something does come up. So
that's right. So if you've got an annuity, you've already got your safety feature, yeah. You know, because it is got that safety feature in it. So it's not like if you're in the stock market and it goes down, you don't have a way to correct it. You've got to ride it down and ride it back up and hope it comes back up.
Yeah.
You know, the way a lot of these companies are going broke right now, you know, I don't know how much leverage you're going to have.
Yeah. I mean, you know, something may happen.
Cotton Patch is closing their places. Did you know
what?
That?
What? Really?
Yeah. We've always eaten at Cotton Patch Cafe. They're closing them.
Oh, my word. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, every time I turn around, there's somebody else. And Saks, you know, bought Neiman Marcus 2 years ago because Neiman's was in trouble. Now Saks Fifth Avenue is about to declare bankruptcy.
What?
These are public companies.
Yes, that have been around for a while.
And Macy's is close to 150 stores.
Oh,
I would not want to have stock in any of these companies, I can tell you.
No. I tell you, there is a lot of unexpected downturns with a lot of these companies. And people, at one time, I remember people saying, oh, wow, these businesses are solid. They're cool. They've been around
they're
forever.
Big. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they're big.
They're worth billions. So you assume that their bottom line has all this cash there, but they ran through the cash. They paid the executives exorbitant amounts of money.
Wow.
And then the executives made a lot of mistakes, like over at Target.
Oh.
And they fired people over there because they got involved in all that junk.
Yes. Yeah. And so people who...
Remember that?
I do. And it was,
that was bad.
It was one of those that was like, it makes you scratch your head. It's just like... What? Seriously? You know, the weird thing is that so many people for so long have gotten so used to a lot of these companies just being there because they've always been there. Everybody knows the name. Like you said before, they're big, they're huge. But I tell you, if we were to compile a list of the big, huge companies that we would think would never either go out of business or declare bankruptcy or be in trouble or anything like that, I bet we could run down a very extensive list that would surprise a lot of people just in the last, year or two, I would imagine.
Yeah, because I would never believe Neiman. I mean, I shopped there for years.
Yeah.
And then they suddenly couldn't pay. They declared bankruptcy. They changed everything around. And then Saks came in and said, we're going to save Neiman Marcus. And they saved it, and now look what it's done to them.
Yeah, it was like an anchor that drew them underwater. Man.
Yeah, same deal.
I'm shocked. So
I am too, the companies that are closing places.
Yeah, so, you know, anybody
then the guy that owns some of the Outbacks,
yes.
I don't know who he is, he said he was closing a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
Outback's one of my favorite places.
You know, I was reading something about, I want to say it was Texas Roadhouse the other day, and they have things structured a little bit differently. They, instead of like having, like, I guess their managers, and don't quote me on this because I may have some of this not right, but instead of having like big managers, they have team members, and if you become a manager, then you have like a piece of stock, or you have to buy in for, I think it was like $25,000, and you don't have to, but you can, or something like that. Anyway, they have like a vested interest, and so the decisions that they make are usually geared towards, hey, if I make a bad decision, I'm still not going to get my salary. This is going to affect everything. And when that happens...
And that's the way it ought to be, by God.
Yeah.
if you've got a little skin in the game, you're going to pay attention and try to make it work.
Exactly.
If you're just an employee, you don't care. If everything on Saturday night doesn't work, you don't care.
No. Uh-uh. And so, you know, I hear you talking about all these exorbitant salaries that a lot of these companies have paid out.
They are exorbitant.
It's like, I know that they got a skin in the game, but it's like, you know, they're still going to get their big bonus and they're still going to get their salary. And if no matter what happens, if the company folds and goes under, they're still guaranteed to get their bonus. And it's just, it's crazy. It's just, it's so set up so weird. It seems like nearly everybody or every major company would be at risk for the same thing.
The other day, one of the big companies that declared bankruptcy, they went ahead and gave the $9 million to the president before they declared.
Yeah, yes.
That's how bad it is. We got to give him his $9 million and then put it to all the stockholders.
Yeah.
And the little people.
Exactly. All that is guaranteed. So they're going to get it one way or another, no matter what the expense is. So, yeah, a lot of these companies that I think we once thought were safe may not be so safe. So, I mean, if you're in the stock market, I would be scratching my head because you never know who's going to be next at the rate we're going. So it might be time for a lot of people to start thinking about maybe I should get into something more conservative, life settlements, annuities, something like this where, you know, you have opportunities to make conservative investments that aren't related to any kind of market conditions or anything like that. Protect your principal. Do some smart things that will keep you from, I guess, maybe reliving another 2008, which we all remember.
Somebody mentioned that to me the other day about 2008.
Did
and
they?
All the banks failed and the real estate companies failed. They go, oh, I don't want to hear about that again.
Oh, I know. Let's not do that again.
I don't want anyone to know about that.
No.
Bad times.
Yeah. Let's put that in the file cabinet and put it away. Never think about
That's
it
right.
again. Don't even say the words.
That's right. Basically.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Burke Burnett, Texas.
All right.
Burke Burnett, a little small town up here. It's Wichita County. It was settled by ranchers. You know, most of this is settled by railroad people. Started in 1856. They called it Nestorville. And it had a small store and a population of 132. And then they called it Gilbert, after the North Texas pioneer Mabel Gilbert. Then in 1906, a wealthy rancher, his name was Samuel Burke Burnett, he sold 16,000 acres of his land, so you know how wealthy he was, to a group of investors who wanted to grow wheat in Oklahoma, Wichita, and western Oklahoma. And so he sold them all this land near the railroad. And the town was named Burke Burnett by who, do you think? President Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He visited the area on a wolf hunt.
Really?
And it was hosted by wealthy rancher Burnett.
Wow. And
so he got the name Burke Burnett. So the president, way back there, named. It's the only town I know in Texas named after that a president named it.
Yeah.
The only one I know of. And on a wolf hunt, too.
Of all the, I would have not have guessed that in a million years.
No, and in 1912, they hit oil, and it made a big difference. They attracted thousands, and by 1918, they had 20,000 people there.
Up from 132.
Yeah. So then the history. They made a film, Boontown, with Clark Gable and Spencer Tracy, right there in Burke Burnett.
Nice.
Can you imagine?
Cool.
It was that kind of a town.
Yeah.
Now then, one famous person, you know, always found famous people in all towns. Texas had so many. And this guy was Nolan Miller. Do you remember who he was?
I don't. It doesn't sound familiar.
He was an American fashion and jewelry designer. He designed for QVC.
Oh.
He was a costume designer on Dynasty, the Colbys, the Reunion, Fantasy Island, Love Boat. He did Heart to Heart. He did Charlie's Angels. He did Vegas.
Wow.
He was from Burke Burnett. He was the fourth of five children. And he said when he was in fifth grade, I made up my mind. He said, I fell in love with movies, and I wanted to design gorgeous costumes for gorgeous gals. He said it was his lifetime ambition.
Wow.
Well, he worked in the oil fields of Texas and Louisiana. Then his family moved to California. He studied at the Chouinard Art Institute, but he couldn't find work. And so he worked in a flower shop in Beverly Hills. And Aaron Spelling, the director, came in there, hired him to design clothes for all these television series.
Really?
That's how he got his start.
Oh, wow.
He became famous. He did The Love Boat. He did Green Acres. As I said, he did Dynasty. He personally did Joan Collins' dresses.
Wow.
All these people, Diane Carroll. I mean, anybody was anybody. And Elizabeth Taylor was one of his friends. He designed all of her clothes.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yeah. And he was nominated in 1985 for the Elizabeth Taylor show, Malice in Wonderland.
Really?
And then the two Mrs. Greenvilles, remember that?
Yes.
And Margaret and Claudette Colbert starred in that one.
Wow.
Then he did the soap opera Encyclopedia and the Dynasty collection by Joan Collins, Linda Evans, and he maintained a career as a private courtier in Beverly Hills. So all these women would come to him privately, and he did all their clothes. He did Betty Davis.
Wow.
And he designed her red dress that she wore to receive the César Award in France.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. He did the musical Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Wow.
He was very famous.
When you started this story, I didn't see it taking this left turn. Oh
yeah. I didn't think so. He did Peter Gunn. Peter Gunn was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
I loved him. He did Pacific Posse, Sunset Beach, The Titans. I guess he did maybe 50 or 60. He did T.J. Hooker.
Oh, I used to love T.J. Hooker.
Yeah. The Colbys. Matt Houston. How about that?
Really?
Charlie's Angels.
Wow.
Oh, and he did the Follies Bergère at the Tropicana Hotel.
How did he have time for all this?
I don't know, but I mean, he's so famous. And I loved all the clothes that he did, especially when Joan Collins, Elizabeth Taylor, all those people, their clothes were so gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous.
Wow.
He said in the fifth grade he knew he wanted to design ladies' clothes for movies.
Wow. And he did it. In fifth grade, I didn't even know my own name. So.
In fifth grade, most boys are just playing ball.
Yeah.
You know, out in the backyard. I mean, but he wasn't.
Wow. Talk about being famous and being focused at the same time. We've all seen his work and had no idea, I guess.
Nobody had any idea who did all those beautiful dresses.
Yeah.
And he did Sophia Loren.
Really?
Yes.
The list is so, and it's all because he was at a flower shop in Beverly Hills and Aaron Spelling walked in.
Walked in. And in 2005, he did Joan Rivers for the Scoundrel Collection.
Wow.
Yeah. And in 2000, he received the Costume Designers Career Achievement Award.
Jeez.
Because of all he did.
I know it. I know this is legit and it's real, but this sounds so far-fetched. I can't even wrap my head around it.
You can't even imagine all this happening.
I know it.
In Burke, Burnett, where Theodore Roosevelt named the town. I mean, how many people know that?
I had no idea.
Of the United States, you know, did that.
Yeah, and it started out at a population of 132 people.
That's all it had. And that was 1882 to 903, you know.
Wow.
They just didn't have much going.
Man, and then...
And this guy, Burnett, came in. And then the oil, when the oil hit, they had 20,000 people all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah, I would imagine. That was overnight population growth. But, jeez. You know, the list of people from Texas, in little small towns from Texas, that have gone on to do incredible things, this is just so, the list is so long, you could probably publish volumes of books with these people's names and their
I think you could. I have another town I'm going to do that I was researching this week, and it's just amazing to me. I think there was either 8 or 10 famous football players from there.
Oh, my word.
I mean, there's something from every little town in Texas. I mean, if they had anything going at all. But I am shocked that he lived in Burke, Burnett, Texas, little tiny town,
yeah,
and went to Hollywood, worked in a flower shop, and was discovered.
Just, and he knew at 5. I'm just,
yes.
Who does that?
he said he knew all of his life after watching movies that he wanted to sign dresses for beautiful actresses.
Wow.
That was his goal in life.
Yeah.
He did. And it's just amazing that you could come from these small towns and you could just be as famous as you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, most people, you know, they're from a small town and they think, oh, I got all these big dreams. And then they think, no, I'll never do it. I don't know the right people. I don't have the connections. I'm in the wrong place. And so, you know, we talk ourselves out of it. It's,
yeah, their dreams don't even get fulfilled, you know?
No, they don't even come close. So when one of them breaks through like this, or as you've gone over in the last several months, several have broken through like this, it really kind of, you know, puts it all in perspective. It's like, wait a minute. No, things actually can happen like that. And so it's really inspiring and really cool. Just the fact that they're from Texas, you know, and not like some other, you know, like New Jersey.
That's right. And Texans are real, real people. I mean,
yes,
they're smart as they can be, and they come from humble, humble beginnings.
Yes.
And yet, look what they do with their lives.
I know it. We've got a certain kind of character and attitude and just way of being that other places don't have. And so when one of us breaks out and does something amazing like this, like on a big, huge worldwide scale, it's really, really cool to see that. So nice. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm just sitting here thinking he could literally call Elizabeth Taylor his friend. You know, all these people, and not many people can do that, which is pretty neat.
That's right. I mean, he could call Joan Collins.
Yeah.
You know, all these people. Betty Davis. I mean, he knew the top line and design firm. And how about Sophia Loren?
Oh, I know.
And that's about as big as a deal as you can do.
Yeah. I mean, talk about, you know, Hollywood royalty. Jeez, that's the top of the list right there. Golly.
And remember, he knew them all. Now, how many people could get to know all the famous actresses and get to do their clothes?
I know it. Know it. And know them on a first-name basis and could just call them up and say, hey. And, you know, not many people could do that. I'm in awe of people who make those kind of connections. It's really cool.
It is cool.
All right, before we wrap up, with the new year in place, people may be thinking to themselves, yeah, after all these points, it might be time to go ahead and maybe do something conservative. So how long would it take a new investor to get set up and, say, ready to go?
Probably a week and a half. We've really cut it down a lot.
Okay. That is pretty quick. So no lollygagging and no time wasted here.
No, we would get the papers done. We'd find out where the money has to be transferred from. If they're writing a check, they can write a check. But if it's an IRA, it's got to be, you know, sent direct to the company.
Okay. All right. And then from there, annuities, you can get people in annuities very quickly.
Yes, because now we don't have to send the original in. They've changed all that. Now they will accept an email.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's something new.
That speeds things up a lot.
Wow. Oh, a lot.
For a life settlement, people do need to be accredited in order to do this. So what does that
mean? They must be accredited. They must make $200,000 a year, or they must be worth $1 million, and that is without their home.
Okay. So that includes businesses, 401Ks, rental property?
Yes, everything that is worth, that has a market value.
Okay. All right. And there are two risks that people need to know with a life settlement. So what's the first one?
First risk is it could go over and you need to be prepared for premiums, okay? So you need to be prepared for that. The second risk is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures.
Okay. All right. So for people who do want to go ahead and either get started or come in and maybe get some more information, maybe they want to lay out their individual situation. Here's where I'm at. Here's how far I am away from retirement. What's the best strategy? What's the best plan? They do need to come and talk to you. And for that to happen, they do need to call.
They need to call me on the phone, set up an appointment, talk to me. Let me find out how much they've got, what they want to do, what they want to accomplish, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah. I mean, you really do make the process very simple and very easy. People don't need to be...
It is simple and easy.
Yeah. Nobody has to have a financial degree to do this or, you know,
no.
Here's where I'm at. Faye, tell me what to do. And you will. You love telling people what to
That's
do.
Right. We will help them.
All right, Faye, one last time. What's your phone number for people to call you?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.